Hello, everybody. Welcome to the TG Place podcast, your place for all things magic. I'm here, like always, with James.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
We're brought to you by a couple sponsors today. We're brought to you by TCG Player. We have an affiliate link in the show notes. You can also find it on our website, mtgplace.net. So if you're going to buy cards, we know you're going to anyway. You might buy some of the sets we're going to talk about today. And if you do, please use that link. It lets them know we sent you over there, and it helps us out. Second way you can support us is directly on Patreon. And you can get some cool perks over there, like playing Magic games with us.
Hell yeah.
So, 2022, 30th anniversary of Magic. Lots of stuff came out. Lots of products.
Overall, including 30th of anniversary of Magic, which was not so great.
Yeah, we'll get to that later, too. Yeah. We're going to go in order of release date here and talk about everything that came out and what we think about that initial thing. So the first thing was January 4th, was the first basic land of the astrology lands, the secret lair drop. And it was the swamps.
Yeah.
Did you think those looked cool or not?
Yeah, I think they looked fine. The price was questionable, but... You know.
Yeah, I think it's like $30 for like five lands or something.
Lands? It's like, I mean, yeah, sure. Cool lands. Basic lands, mind you, too. They're not even like, you know, non-basics that do shit. It's like, oh, it's a swamp. I can get a non-basic swamp at any store for free.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
I didn't buy it. I was like, no.
Nope.
Not for that price.
Not
it was okay. It's okay if you're into that artwork. I mean, whatever. This is what the secret layer is.
I mean,
for.
Yeah. You just have to remember that you're buying art. Literally, is what you're doing. Like that's kind of what you're paying for at that point.
And then January 28th was Commander Collection Black. I thought that was a cool thing that came out was the Commander Collection Black. It It must not have sold very well because during the Black Friday sales recently, there's a lot of them. Super cheap, so like you can get it for like half price. So it's like $30 to pick that stuff
and
up.
That's a really good deal if you're able to get it for that, because that more than pays for what you get. Like you get your money back easy.
So that was pretty cool. I can't wait for.
Yeah,
well, I can't remember what the next one is, but they're going to do all the colors. So then we had, believe it or not, this was this year. I thought it was last year, but Innistrad double feature.
So this was the one where they grayscaled everything, if I remember right.
Yes, it was basically the same. It was basically they took Midnight Hunt, Crimson Vow, stuck them into one set, grayscaled it, and like in draft, you could get the same card twice a couple times because like it was in both sets.
Now I remember the thing about this is that it was meant to be like. Or was it meant to be for drafting, or was it just meant for, like, to collect?
It was made for drafting or collecting, both.
Yeah.
Like you could draft it. But drafting it was weird, because you would get, like,
drafting...
Because you get all 10, like, all 20 archetypes or whatever, and you're like, what the hell? Like, you got half
And drafting, it's just like, you have two sets that were, like, not exactly meant to be drafted together, so the synergies were a little questionable.
I mean, there was some, because there was some overlay. Like, there was overlay. Like, there was zombies in both, and there was, you know, werewolves in both.
Well, sure.
Vampires
in
both, but...
But, the synergies were weird, basically. And I was not a huge fan of the whole grayscale thing, personally. I mean, especially since... They literally just took the original art and then made it black and white.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they did. Like if they changed the art in some way, like had different art pieces and made that grayscale, that would have been a lot better, I think, than literally just, oh, here's the original, black and white.
Yeah, I was just like, what? Okay. I actually own one.
There was zero effort. Like there was zero effort put into this, in my opinion, on WotC's end. Like it just like, oh, two sets, grayscale. Oh, okay, here you go. New product.
I actually own one card from it, and that's the Meat Hook Massacre, because it was cheaper to buy that version than the other version.
Yeah, I believe it. I totally understand that. Yes, you can get some cheap cards by getting it from that set if you don't care about what the art looks like.
Yeah, and then you had the release of the Secret Lair February Super Drop, which was a bunch of Secret Lairs, but the big one there was the Universes Beyond Street Fighter, which I actually got.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, I thought. I can't remember a whole lot about that one. But I feel like a lot of the collaboration sets were really interesting with how they integrated into the Magic the Gathering kind of style.
Yep. Yep. So I like that. Oh, double feature. What grade would you give that? A through F?
Oh, the double feature? A D.
Yeah, it's a D, right? Whatever.
It's eh.
And then next up, we got the release of Kamigawa Neon Dynasty. Now, this was a home run because it was back to Kamigawa. Draft Kamigawa, was amazing.
Hell yeah.
It was one of the best draft sets in a year time. It was super good. I had a blast drafting it. I still play some of the cards. My Shigeki guy played in every commander deck. I love that card.
Hell yeah. I mean, it's just it's Kamigawa. What's there not to love about that set? Going back to probably one of the greatest sets Magic's ever released, in my opinion. Kamigawa, OG was insane.
Right. And then it was.
And this way lived up to it.
Yeah. And it was the neon future version. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, there was a lot of really cool stuff in this set.
I'd give this set an A, probably. I really like
it. Oh, yeah, A for sure.
See, then in April 1st, we had the Challenger decks released, which were 60 cards plus a sideboard pre-con standard decks. What do you think about product in general?
Were they all reprints or were they new? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's all reprints. So it was whatever was the top. They took the top decks at the time. So it was four decks. They took the top decks and put basically those decks, but with some budget cards. So it was Mono White Aggro, Dimir Control, Rakdos Vampires, and Gruul Stompy. So you might only have one rare instead of four copies, right?
Right, right. Okay. I gotcha.
So it's a decent, if you want to get into FNM, it's a decent deck. You're supposed to buy it and go play.
Right. It's really good for new players. So I think that's really what this is for. And I think, from, honestly can't remember it because this was a long time ago. It was, God. it was over a year ago. I think the idea and having potential new players getting their collection set up basically, that seemed a good way to do it. What was the price for this one? Was it not too expensive? Do you remember?
Let's see if it says on Google here. It does not say. Oh, I can look it up on Amazon.
Yeah,
it's currently $39.95. I don't know. It might have released at $20.
Right. Which, if that's the case, that's definitely a good deal. So, yeah, interesting idea with that, I think.
Then we had the Secret Lair April Super Drop, which was the edition of the Gilded Foils. That was the one I really wanted, was the Gilded Foils one, but I didn't get it. The Gilded Foil of Atraxa, Brea, and Yidris, and what they would look like in the Streets of New Capenna era. Yeah. Then they had the Allied Czech Lands by Matt Jukes. And then they had Artist Series, Magalai Villanevo, a bunch of other Artist Series. And then the weird left-handed cards that I thought were stupid. It was an April Fool's joke, right? Where all the cards are shifted to the left.
it's the dumbest thing ever.
Backward. Yeah.
It's why? And also, you're paying extra money for that, by the way. Yeah. So, that in my opinion was not worth it. The Gilded stuff was cool, though, for sure.
Yeah, that was the only one that I was considering getting.
Yeah, that I would actually buy. I didn't, but I would if I had extra money.
Then we had Explorer added to Magic: The Gathering Arena, which was their version of Pioneer. So it's as close to Pioneer as you can get.
Definitely a fan of that, 100%. The more that the Arena library can be expanded, the better. Like, the closer to like modern we can get and beyond, the better. So this is a great step forward in that direction.
Then we had Streets of New Capenna, which I thought was a cool set flavor-wise.
Yeah.
Draft-wise, it wasn't that great. It was just draft the broken boat brokers.
It was very, very samey. It's like, if you got the good deck, you win. If you didn't, well, better luck next time. Cool flavor, yes. I thought like all that behind the story and the lore was really cool. But yeah, the play experience was, there's some left to be desired there for sure.
What would you grade Streets of New
Capenna? That's like a C, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd give it like a C plus ish, because I did have a blast drafting it, even though there was only like 3 decks to play at the time.
Yeah,
and the flavor was
definitely unfortunate. Yeah, it could have been so much better if there was just some better synergies.
Yeah, and I mean, that had the most bonkers fucking common we've ever seen ever, that Angelic Overseer or whatever.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And it had the Jewel Thief. You had both. Yep. They're both commons. So,
very good.
Super pushed. Then we had the Secret Lair Pride Across the Multiverse. That was the LGBTQ one.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Always loved that. Art was cool. All that stuff. So, good cause. So on and so forth.
Then we had the 2022 starter kit release. It's a product for new players. It's $10, and it comes with a code to give you the pre-con deck on Arena as well.
Right. Was there good cards, or like cards worthwhile in it, though, is the question.
So let's see. Welcoming,
I don't remember what was in it.
There was one Welcoming Vampire in the white-blue deck. So that was the only rare card. Oh, and Extraction Specialist. And Hullbreaker Horror. So, but Welcoming Vampire is the only card with money. So there's maybe like a $5 rare in there. The red-green one had like 2 or 3 rares. They all have 4 rares, but only like 1 rare that's like a $2-$3 rare. So they both probably are worth exactly $10 in cards. But you also get the Arena code for it.
So I definitely don't expect to make money off of that set or that box. I mean, yeah, sure, it's great for new players. It's a good way to dip their feet in, I guess. But the decks are very, very basic.
Yeah, it also comes with an instruction guide on how to play Magic, and it walks you through playing your first game.
Which, so that's kind of good.
Yeah, so it's like you have those 2 decks in there and stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, good for new players, but everyone else, don't buy it.
Then we had Commander Legends Battle for Baldur's Gate. What'd you think of that?
That had some pretty sick cards in it, if I remember right.
Yeah, it had a lot. I didn't like, because they released it so close to Double Masters that we were seeing spoilers for Double Masters when
Baldur's Gate. Yeah, that Gate was when they were like back to back to back. There was like 3 sets in a row practically coming out. Like, we couldn't even keep up. We couldn't keep up because there was so much crap coming out at once. So this was like, oh my God, calm down. Yep. very cool. I mean, of course, it's Baldur's Gate. Who doesn't like, D&D?
Yeah, so, and there's some really awesome cards for Commander in there that I've been playing. I had a blast drafting it, because you drafted a whole Commander deck.
Yeah, which Commander draft is really fun. Definitely.
I'd probably, honestly, I'd give it like a B. I think they just should have put more time between it and Double Masters, because a lot of people...
Yeah, it didn't need to be slammed together, for sure.
But a lot of people saw the spoilers for Double Masters and was like, oh, well, I'm just going to save my money and buy that, because I get 2 rares in every pack, you know?
Right, yeah.
Versus like, buying
unnecessary
Commander Legends.
Yeah, they just had to keep pumping stuff out because they needed to, make their money, I guess. I don't know.
What would you rate Baldur's Gate?
I'd say, yeah, I think a B would be pretty good. Yeah, it was a good set. It was solid.
Then we had the Secret Lair drop series, Here Be Dragons, which was the limited drop through Beetle and Grimm, and I did not get it, and I wanted it so bad.
Did this have, like, the Planar Chaos Dragons in it? I can't remember.
It was just, like, all of the good dragons, but it was just, they were all super cool, though. So it was Icing Death Frost Tyrant, Irmeth Desert Doom, Even Death Dracolich, Inferno Mount of the Star of the Mounts, Old Gnawbone, Tiamat, and the Icewing Frost Tongue, and they were all in the, like, D&D monster manual.
Yeah, so those are D&D characters. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds really sick, honestly. Definitely, that would have been something I probably would have bought. Just because those are...
Yeah, there was just only 10,000 sets available, and they're all numbered. So that's why I was kind of like... sold out right away.
Yeah, stuff like that, it's just so hard to get.
Like, it sold out in 4 hours.
Like, I really wish they would cut out with a limited offer crap, because it's, like, so annoying if it's something you actually want.
Right.
It's like... That I'm not a huge fan of. I love the art. I love, you know, I'll pay extra for the art, sure, but, like, don't turn it into a freaking, like, you know, hurry up and get it, the board's gone. It's like, mm-hmm. Okay. Calm down, guys. You don't need to do that. Yeah.
Then we had, you know, what I thought was a really good set, Double Masters 2022.
Double Masters was really good. That had a bunch of like old reprints in it that were, you know, needed to be reprinted, if I remember right.
Yeah, it did. It had the tricolor lands. The tri-lands were reprinted, or the tricolor sets. So it had, like, Rune was in it, Xur, Brana, Thraxamunder, yeah. So all the stuff like that. All the bounce lands were in it. All the lieges were in it.
Yeah.
Aether Vial was in it. E-Witness Food right. Chain.
Yeah, know. It's just all staple stuff that, like, yeah, Emmercool. Is good is good to have. And honestly, a lot of it is, like, will allow maybe players who weren't around for, like, World Wake or before, to be able to play certain decks, because they didn't have Emrakul, you know, before it was freaking $100 or whatever the hell it's going for now. It's like something ridiculous. Like, I remember when Emrakul, like, cost nothing, like, back in, like, 20, you know, 12.
Yeah, and every pack had like those. Nothing. Every pack of Double Masters 2 had those lands that were the create your own tap land.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, like, circle what two you want colors you want it to be. So you could you would just draft, like, 8 of those, and you could play any color combo you want.
Yep. Yeah, that's always fun. Yeah, it's good to see, honestly, like, you know, some people bitch and moan, like, oh, they're reprinting and making the card value go down. It's like, yeah, good. So we want some of that. You know, some of these cards have been way too high for way too long. It's like, yeah, they're not reserve lists. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to get your jimmies in a bunch about them printing reserve list stuff. But, you know, this is stuff that they can reprint and honestly, you know, should, because they're important cards. Especially the paint, like the bounce lands and whatnot. Like, that's stuff people should have.
Right. What would you give the grade of Double Masters overall?
I'd say it's probably a B.
It's like B, B plus. Pretty good.
B plus.
Then we had the Secret Lair drop Fortnite.
Yeah, I'm not a big Fortnite fan personally. Like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to kind of come down on it just because I'm not a Fortnite fan. But it's like at the same time, it's like, do we really need this?
Yeah, and that was you know, Wrath of God, Ethereum Sculptor, Dance of the Many, Smuggler's Copter, Grim Tutor, Triumph of the Horned, Planar Bridge, all that. Mm-hmm. But it was just reskinned into, you know, Fortnite cards. So it wasn't new cards.
No, but it just seems like out of place. Like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. But some people probably liked it.
I mean, yeah, if you're into the game, I get it.
Like, you could be people that play Fortnite and Magic. So then you're like,
yeah, which I'm sure they exist. Obviously, otherwise I wouldn't have done this. But me personally, I, you know, don't care as much about that. And yeah, the art style of Fortnite is interesting and cool, sure, but it's just like, I don't know. It just seems weird and Magic.
Yeah. I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
Then we had the mobile game. I don't know if you've played this, Magic Spell Slingers.
Oh yeah, I heard of, I think we did talk about this. I have not played this though.
Yeah, I have it downloaded on my phone. I've played it a couple times. It was fun for like, you know, a couple days, and then I just kept winning. Like I just I still have never lost playing it because I feel like it's just, you know, because you only have like three card hands or whatever, and you just, and you build your deck and they all do a little bit different things. And you just like, okay, win.
Yeah. It's like dumbed down Magic basically. Is that what it was?
Yeah. It's kind of like Magic. I think if I remember right, you have like the three, it's been a while since I played it, but yeah, it's like nerfed mm-hmm. down a little bit. It's its own like game type. It's more like, trying to think, kind of like a Gwent type play style or something like that, but it's Magic, which makes it interesting.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I never did check that one out personally, but
it's a fun game. Like, and it's still people are still playing it. So,
I mean, hey, I get that for mobile especially.
And it's free to play, so it's not like
it's probably a good market for it. So, yeah, it definitely makes sense.
Then we had the Secret Lair, Little Girl Saves the Day, which was The Peak, Greed, Curiosity, Vandal Blast, and Last Chance with the little girl and then the big evil like rice puff in the background of all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those were kind of cool from what I remember. Definitely interesting. I don't know if I would pay the price for it personally, but
yeah. Then we had the August Secret Lair Super Drop, which the hits from there that I really liked was the Dan Frazier was back again and did all the talismans, yep. Look like Moxes and stuff.
Yeah, that was really cool. Always happy to see Dan Frazier's art because, I mean, he's such a classic when it comes to Magic, especially when we talk to Upper Markov about artists and stuff. Like, it's really the soul of the game, so it's cool to see stuff like that.
Yep, it's really cool. That's what the Secret Lairs, I like them being used for, stuff like that.
Yeah. It's kind of like special edition stuff like that.
Yeah. Then we had Dominaria United, which was probably one of the best draft formats ever created.
Yeah.
it was literally the one set you could play any combination of colors up to all five that you wanted, and there was support for it, and it was fantastic. So there was probably like 20 different decks you could play. The five-color domain deck being a really strong version that a lot of people played. So a lot of people played like mm-hmm. three, four-color splash.
You know, it's like decks. How many times can you remember a five-color deck being good in draft?
Right, it's exactly. Not
like a meme or something, you know?
Yeah.
That never happens.
I was like, Sirkovitz, he said he does the 17 lands data. He was saying that basically it was the first set that there was only like a 1 to 2% drop-off between playing monocolor and five-color.
Right, which like is
maybe insane. It was 3%, but either way, which most normally, as soon as you get over two colors, it drops like significantly by the time, yeah, you know, like multiple percentage points.
Well, because usually there's no filter or like very little filtering or very little synergies for certain, you know, like even like guild decks where you have like when it like wants you to play three colors, it's still limited in like what you can do. But yeah, this just, you just had so many resources that, yeah, you could play almost anything. And that was awesome.
This also was the set that had the Lost Legends, so the old Legends packs thrown in there. And the Legends Retold, where they redid some old Legends cards.
Yeah, that and of course, that, I don't know, that just made it really interesting. Being able to like hold,
yeah,
you might pull the tabernacle.
Yeah, the professor pulled the tabernacle.
Oh, and hell then, yeah.
And then, you know, my cousin pulled the Chains of Mephistopheles.
Yep.
Like, so that was which crazy. Is
like the number three most expensive card in the set or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, that was just cool. That's A+. Like that set.
Yeah, awesome. That was an A+ set, yeah.
That was probably the best part of the year, to be honest.
And then with that you had the Jumpstart Dominaria United boosters. Those were a miss. Like honestly, I think Jumpstart just needs to be the main set and not
coming off the back of the
of coming the off the set. Back of other sets, yeah.
Yeah.
Like they used to have the theme boosters there and now they have the Jumpstart things. It's like whatever, just stick with just the commander decks and that's it really.
Yeah. Like at that point just do like, you know, like what the commander sets have been, just for commander. Like what Battle Bond, that was the commander set that was really good, wasn't it, from like a while back?
No, but I meant just don't do Jumpstart boosters or theme boosters and just release the two commander decks with the set.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they've done in the past. And those work great.
They're still doing it. I think they released a commander deck with at least one or more with every single set. So.
Yeah, I know they did it with like Baldur's Gate and a couple of the other ones. So,
yeah, they did it with Dominaria and all that. So then we had so A+ for that set, but the Jumpstarts.
Sure. Jumpstart probably like a C. So much.
Like I do like playing the format, but.
Yeah. I mean, the format's fun, but yeah.
Yeah, then you had the Secret Lair Little Walkers. That was really cool.
Oh yeah,
that was the kind of they look kind of like Funko Pops, in my opinion.
That's right. Yes, Funko Pop that was
Planeswalkers type thing.
That was a really interesting like style. Definitely cool. You don't see stuff like that very often. So if you're into the kind of almost chibi in a way, like you probably like that Secret Lair.
Then there was Unfinity. They replaced the silver border with the acorn stamp. So it was the first unset that contained eternal legal cards and added the stickers to the unset where you can play with stickers.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that. Like, the silver border was such an iconic part of the unsets, and not having the silver borders is just weird, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to tell if it's legal or not. I'm like, just assume that it's legal unless it has an acorn stamp. And then you're like, oh, now I have to look at the hollow mark on every card.
Like, well, and the stamps like could even be like misprinted. Like,
right.
I know that was an issue too. So yeah, you didn't always know. It was I don't know. They could have done way better with that. Like
in
the
general,
unset itself was fun. Yes, of course.
Yeah. The unset was fun. The artwork was amazing. The space lands and the space shock lands.
The artwork was so cool. Awesome. Yeah, definitely. I'm not a huge fan of having some of it be legal, and like the way they did that was not amazing. Like, yeah, that's what I don't like about it.
Yeah, so overall, what would you grade it then?
Like a B-, I'd say.
Yeah, in the same area, like C+, B- range.
Yeah.
Then we had the Universes Beyond Warhammer 40,000 commander decks. So this was probably one of the best crossovers they've ever done, in my opinion.
This is the best crossover, yes. And the freaking mech deck, mech deck basically with the artifacts.
Yeah,
really powerful.
I went out and bought that deck. So I have that Necron deck. I got it. It was still like a crazy, more than like double a normal commander deck, but the deck is awesome. The cards are themed. Yep. Apparently it's such high demand that they're now reprinting it for the third time.
Oh God.
It was a third print run because everyone wants these decks and there's a lot of commander cards in it that are very good for commander.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense too, because Warhammer 40K has a huge following. So should not be surprised about it either. And it really does match up well with MTG. So it was, that was a home run for them, I think.
Yeah. So like, hopefully like
for sure
after this coming out and that be, an A+ crossover, I'm really looking forward to the Lord of the Rings set and hoping that that is just as good.
Lord
as
of the Rings is like such a perfect collaboration with Magic. I really hope they do it well, because that should be an easy home run for them.
Then we had the game night, which is where you get the decks and you can play the 60 card tabletop free for all decks. I've purchased it a couple times just because you get like the five new rare cards, but the cards are just like mediocre at best, honestly. Yeah,
they were kind of sad, if I remember right. Like the free for all idea and all that stuff was cool, but it's just like what you got to play with was just like,
Yeah, I'd rather just build more to be desired. Build my own like on par 60 card random deck.
Yeah.
But they've been doing those game nights for like ever. Like I think it's been since like 2017 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. Like over 5 years now, definitely.
Then you had the Secret Lair October drop, which included the Warhammer 40K decks, but all in foil.
Yeah, and that was like sweet, definitely. So obviously it cost a pretty penny. But if he could afford it, it was definitely a good buy. And the cards are definitely worth it because they're not losing their value.
Then we had the release of the 30th anniversary countdown kit, which I didn't even know about, but I saw him talk about it on the Command Zone. And if what I had known about this, that? I would have bought it. So it was a countdown to Christmas thing, like an advent calendar of Magic.
Okay. Interesting.
Every day you would open up a pack or whatever, and it would have a Magic card in it.
Right.
And so it had, and it went from 1993 all the way to 2022. So all 30 days. Okay. Yeah. Yep. And it was a new card, one from each year, which was super cool. If I'd known about this, I would have bought it. But it was also one of those limited time things where it was sold out in 30 minutes.
Like, that's why we didn't hear about it, because like always, it's like so, paper sale.
This gone. Is super cool if people can get it. I don't know why they didn't just take orders like the year before and you get it next year at Christmas time. That would be cool if they were to do this again.
They gotta be able to mitigate that kind of stuff better, I would think, because people want the stuff. Like, please make it available. Like, come on. Oh, we're only printing 100 of them. It's like, really? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, and it had some sweet cards. Like, it had Sheevan Dragon, Mishra's Factory, Necropotence, Smokestack, Chrome Mox was reprinted in there, Glimpse of Nature,
right?
Heritage Druid, Ponder, Birthing Pod.
They're Elspeth. Good cards, too. It's just like, let us have Ball-Loss, them, please.
Shark Typhoon. Like, so they're all good cards, too, yeah.
Yeah, but nice to have.
Then they had the Pioneer Challenger decks, which are the same as the other Challenger decks, but for the Pioneer format.
Yep. So
again, they're good if you're trying to get into the format.
Good for the format, for sure.
Then you have the Secret Lair Extra Life drop. I always like these because
this is a great cause.
Extra Life.
Extra Life is an amazing cause for usually has to do with children in some way, like children's hospitals, things like that.
Yeah, it goes to the Seattle Children's Hospital.
Yeah. Always great to, you know, donate to charity basically while also getting stuff out of it. So
yeah, and the Secret Lair, it's a win-win. Yeah, so 50% of it goes to Wizards, 50% goes to charity. And you got two copies of every card. One is, you know, the actual card with the Secret Lair artwork. And the other one is the, like, they asked a kid to hand draw it.
Yeah.
And then it's their artwork on it. So it was, it was Lathys, Birds of Paradise, and Sliver Legion.
Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty cool.
And then the bonus card was Morrow. So that was cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Then you had the Secret Lair Look at the Kitties.
I'm sure Elizabeth liked that set, didn't she?
She thought the artwork was cool, but the cards sucked, so she was like, no. Oh,
unfortunate.
So that was Felidar Sarvant, Descendant's Path, Lord Windgrace, and Violent Outburst.
Yeah, those Filler of Sovereign's like a main card at best.
Yeah, like the Lord Windgrace, the Lord Windgrace is the best card in there, like yeah. In my opinion. Then you had Brothers War.
That was a good set.
Which was a good set. Yep. It's a fun draft set. I've still been drafting it occasionally. It includes all those retro framed artifacts, and it includes the Universes Beyond Transformers.
Yep, which that was also a really cool collaboration. I thought they did that really well, for sure.
What would you give that set, Brothers War?
I'd say Brothers War is a solid B for sure, B plus.
Yeah, I'd say like A minus. Like it's really good, especially in draft.
Yeah, good set to draft for sure.
A
lot of really cool cards.
Then we had probably the worst thing that ever come out in the history of Magic, the 30th anniversary edition.
$1,000. $1,000 for proxies?
For four random boosters of non-legal beta reprinted cards.
You couldn't even choose which ones you got. You weren't even guaranteed to get all of them. And again, it was $1,000 for proxies, not real cards. It's like... Z, can I go lower than F, please? Like, come on. F minus.
Yeah,
horrible. Exactly. F minus. Worst thing ever made.
Then we had Jumpstart 2022, which was super good in my opinion. There's some cool cards in there. I actually have a box of it over here that I haven't opened yet.
Yeah, amazing how Jumpstart's actually good when it's its own set, like it's supposed to be.
Yep. Just like the first Jumpstart.
Yeah.
Then we had the first starter commander decks that was all reprinted prints that were to get you into commander. And they actually seemed like decent decks. I mean, the one commander is Espiria the Supreme Judge. And then you have the other one is Gisa and Giralf, the zombies. And then the Cardor Doomscour. And the Atarka World Render. And honestly, like the Atarka deck comes with some good stuff. Like it has, you know, Steel Hellkite, Thunderbreak Regent, Flame Blast Dragon, Scourge of Valkus, you know, Dream Pillager. Like it has some Dragonmaster Outcast. So it has like a lot of staples for playing dragon decks.
Yep. If you want to play Dragon deck in Commander, which Dragons is a great tribe to play in Commander. That's a good way to get some stuff, definitely. And
they're only like $21 instead of like $40.
Right, that's awesome. And like we're really big Commander players, so always really happy to see them like, you know, supporting the format and, you know, inviting kind of, you know, easy way for people to get in. And that's what we want.
Then we had a December super drop of even more secret layers. I think there was like 70 or 71 secret layers or come crap.
Jesus
this year.
Christ, that many?
Yeah.
Holy crap. that's kind of insane.
Yeah, there's Were a
they, like there's ones a you video, could actually get.
Yes, there's a video of what is it? The professor, and he does a Yule log thing. And he's sitting at the U-Log like you would, you know, you have the U-Log background, but it's just the professor with the fire going in the background reading every secret layer that came out this year.
Oh, my God.
it's like a 12-minute video or something of him just reading.
Yeah, sure.
And you can just loop it.
That's incredible. Oh, I love it.
So overall, what was your favorite thing that released last year?
Dominaria definitely is the best one.
Dominaria United. Yeah, that was cool.
That's the best one. And then,
I really liked that.
We all know what the worst thing was, so we don't even have to talk about that.
Right, yeah.
Everyone will agree on that. But yeah, Dominaria United was awesome for sure.
I really had fun with Dominaria United. I had fun with Kamigawa. I even had fun with Nukapena. Like the sets, I think, were mostly pretty good. Like I can't complain.
And a lot of the collaborations were
fun draft formats. Yeah, the collaborations were all right.
The collabs were really good. The secret layers, like, I just wish they were freaking available. That would be nice. I would like to get some.
Most of them are valid for like a week or two, so you can actually go over there and get them. You just have to follow their Twitter to know when they're dropping them all, or follow their
news page. It's just, you have to do your homework, and it's just like, I lose track of that stuff. And they're expensive. Like, I don't always have the money for that kind of stuff, you know? It's like, ugh. So I don't end up getting them half the time, just because it's not worth it. But they're cool, so I get it.
Overall, decent year in Magic. Hopefully it continues on a good trend.
Yeah, as long as they don't do another 30th anniversary next year, I think 2023 is looking pretty good.
Yeah, the Magic Con is coming to Minneapolis next
year. Yes, that's going to be really fun. I'm definitely looking forward to that. It'll be the first time I've done in-person Magic in, like, since the pandemic, probably. So, outside of, like, at your house or something, like, in public.
Yeah, I've gone through a couple pre-releases and stuff, but
yeah, so it'll be nice to it'll be nice to do that. That'll be fun.
And then as far as the Rio Decathlon goes, I 4-for-4 the first four. Ooh, and then I got slowed down after that, so I qualified right away, but I wasn't able to make it to 7. So,
I mean, it was hard because some of that stuff was like a little obscure, so it was like not easy to hit.
Yeah, all of them. The one that I really had trouble with was whatever the fifth one, I think, was Alchemy, and I just said, I'm not playing.
Yeah, that. No one likes Alchemy.
One of them was that I had a lot of trouble with was the Omniscience draft, because it seemed like it was kind of luck on what you opened. It was like you needed card draw and you needed to go first.
Yeah, it's like you had to go first. You had to have, you basically had
card draw, and you had to have bombs to make you win the game, because everything's free. Like,
I mean, if everything's free, it better be something worth playing. You know, it's like you're not going to win if you're like, oh, I have a bunch of one drops of mana dorks. Like, yeah, when you play, you don't care.
Yeah.
You want, like, Baneslayer Angel or whatever the heck was in the set, you know? It's, like, something that is crazy.
But it was fun. I won I think it was the Dominaria draft, or the Brothers of War draft one. The Pauper one, I actually went undefeated in that. 7-0.
Oh, damn. Pauper's kind of hard.
Mono white Pauper.
Okay, that makes sense. Mono white stuff.
The standard one, the standard one, I went 7-1, so I won one loss. Nice. I also played mono white.
Also, very good standard right now.
Oh, I think the fourth one was the sealed deck. So I didn't.
Of course, I mean, of course you'd win sealed. You're very good at that, so that doesn't surprise me. Awesome. Yeah, the whole death decathlon thing was pretty cool. That was a cool idea. I don't think they've ever really done anything like that before. So it was interesting to see.
So I'll be able to play a Met this coming weekend. So
awesome.
We'll see how that goes.
Well, it's been quite a year, and here's to 2023 and more Magic.
Yeah, thanks for listening to us all, guys, and check out our YouTube channel. I opened up a bunch of Magic product for Christmas, and I made videos of it that I'll be posting over there. So follow us on YouTube if you're not.
Check out all the cool pulls. Hopefully you pull some good stuff.
There's some good stuff in there. There's some good stuff.
That's good. All right. A little eye candy.
Yeah.
Well, until next time, we will see you once again in the future. Have a good night, everybody.